We're to train up our children in the way they should go. And unfortunately, in our instant society, this is a two-decade process. One of the difficulties in this two-decade process is developing a child's conscience. It takes the entire time they are in your home. But if you don't do it, they will be dysfunctional as adults.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. There's always so much to teach children, but making sure that their hearts are in the right place, or I don't know if you can make sure, but at least training their hearts so that they can later have it in the right place for their future is probably top of the list.
It is. And I think that parenting is overwhelming. I think it's very overwhelming today. Yeah. And I think it's overwhelming for multiple reasons. I think one of them is it was built into the system that you spent 24/7 with your children for thousands of years in the past. They worked on the farm with you and your community helped you. That's a second reason. Your community was kind of on the same page in so many of these areas. And then thirdly, there wasn't so much input. You know, parents have such little input in their child's heart and the development of the heart. And then finally, they are out there in a very difficult, dark world today. So there are some things as parents, when we seemingly have less time, we've got to think through making the best of our time with our children and not say, it's hopeless. And one of the things we have to develop is the answer to the question, why? Why shouldn't I do this? Why should I do that? And that comes from a well-developed conscience. Why shouldn't a child walk into a school and shoot people? Why shouldn't a child steal? Why shouldn't a child cheat? Why shouldn't a child bully other people? And that's the development of the conscience. That's the development of planting the word of God in their heart over a period of 20 years where they know the yes and they know the no. And so we have to begin by planting it in their heart, but there's parallel paths in this training. While we're planting the word of God in their heart and spending time just reading the Bible at the breakfast table with them and showing them illustrations of in our lives and setting the example, we also have to do the outside mechanics of this. You know, we also have to have them do the right thing, even though the heart's not in it yet. And I think one of those is when one sibling does something to another sibling, we have to help them combat. You need to look your sister in the eye and say, I'm sorry. And that's very difficult. And I'm ready for you. I know you're going to take me on.
I'm going to take you on because
you go for it. Because I can turn this radio off at any time. So go for it.
I've got 4 stepkids and they are all nice, strong character children who are wonderful. But there was one instance where the 2 girls were fighting. I sat them down, told one that she needed to say I'm sorry to the other. And of course, the first 20 minutes was arguing because she was not the first one to do something wrong. Her sister had done it first. So we got past that. Then you have to say I'm sorry. And then she comes at me, well, I don't want to. Because if I say I'm sorry, I'm not really saying the truth. Because I don't really feel sorry. And well, I was stuck.
No, she's brilliant. That's awesome. I don't want to. I don't want to pay taxes either. I think what we have to look at is all of life is not doing what I feel like doing. This is going to shock some people, but it's pleasurable to look at naked women's bodies. Mm-hmm. And it may make somebody feel good.
Usually.
For men, yes. It may make somebody feel good. It's pleasurable, but it's wrong. It's Joseph saying to Potiphar's wife, he never said, you know, I don't feel like sleeping with Potiphar's wife when he said it to her. He ran from her. I think life cannot be controlled by my feelings. I got home at 10 o'clock last night and I was ravenous and Rosemary just purchased an entire box of Fig Newtons. And I'm like a woodchuck, man. I'm packing those things and I realize, wait a minute, I have to stop. What am I doing? But I felt like doing that. I think we need to help our children not be feeling oriented because she's going to be in the back seat with some little boy and feel like doing something. I'm sorry that you don't feel like doing this, but this is the right thing to do and this is what we will do. There's a lot of things in life I don't feel like doing. I don't even feel like having this discussion. I don't even feel like getting involved in this right now. Mm-hmm. In fact, my feeling was not to even bother to correct you, but I love you and I know my responsibility here. The right thing is for us to see that you apologize to her. And if you don't say, I'm sorry, then you're going to sit in the chair until you're ready to. And if you sit past 15 minutes, it's going to be a 50-word note that you're going to write to her. Mm-hmm. So make the right decision and don't go and be sarcastic when you're sorry. Go and say it and say it. You don't have to say with incredible passion, I am so unbelievably sorry, because that's sarcastic. Mm-hmm. But I'm teaching you to do the right things. And someday the doing the right things will be combined with feeling like doing the right things because we're working on your feelings also.
So you're you're saying that you should pretty much force the children to do the right thing, because eventually then they're going to want to do the right thing.
They won't know how to do the right thing if we don't have them do the right thing. Children don't automatically all of a sudden grow teeth in their mouth and say, I feel like brushing my teeth. We have them brush their teeth because it's the right thing. Children don't feel like doing anything uncomfortable. They don't feel like doing anything that doesn't
bring
them personal pleasure. Absolutely. They don't feel like I shouldn't have to go to bed because I don't feel like I'm going to bed. So if I go to bed, isn't that kind of lying to myself and my feelings because I don't feel like going to bed? No, you're going to bed because, number one, it's obedient to go to bed. I've told you to go to bed and I will see that you go to bed. And number two, because it's the right thing to go to bed, whether you feel like it or not. We are such a culture that's so obsessed with feelings. And then you had this saying about 20 years ago, if it feels good, do it. That's right. What got us through the 60s, which was frightening. No, it's a reality that as a parent, I need to be massaging their heart while I'm helping their body's words and actions do the right thing. At some point, the heart and the right thing that they're doing connects. At some point, they will know how we've taught them, say, you're sorry for what you just said or did to your sister. They will know how to do that because they've done it, and they will feel because we've developed a conscience in them. That is wrong to do. Mm-hmm. You know, naturally, a child sits in a classroom in middle school and sees half the class cheating, mm-hmm. and feels like, is this all about the grades? And if it's all about the grades, Mom, I just felt like cheating. I could have done it. But they didn't study and I did all that studying. So how cool is that, mm-hmm. that you did the studying and you actually earned a B? I don't care if they all got A's and had identical papers or plagiarized. You earned the B. But let me ask you, it's not just the teacher that graded your paper. And I know you don't get this, but it's also God that graded your paper. There was years and years and years ago, there was a foundation group that came to town and brought us all to a big hotel in Miami to learn how to write foundations properly. And I went down to this seminar. And when I got down to the seminar, they announced, hey, we're going to teach you how to write foundations. And then as we teach you how to write foundations, at the end of this, during the lunch hour, we're going to bring in food and we're going to leave you alone and have you each write a foundation. And one of you is for your nonprofit's going to get $1,000. Wow. And so I'm back there in the corner and I'm gasping over writing this foundation thing. And I write this foundation thing and I'm watching them and they are cheating. They're doing what they were told not to do and they're writing it. And we finished. And I didn't get the foundation, and it irked me a little bit, but I did my part. I did what I was supposed to do for the, right. I think it was for the Miami Herald or whoever it was, and I didn't get it. And I remember coming home talking to Rosemary, and she said, do you wish you'd have cheated? And I said, no, now you're pressing me a little bit. It just irked me that people were in there doing what they were told not to do in the presentation of this grant. And I got a call from somebody about a month or so later, and they said, we read yours and we read others, and we knew that what they did, but there was I don't want to insult you, but there was a naivete about your foundation proposal. I want to come talk to you. Can we come see what you're doing? And they came to Sheridan House, and they ended up doing a big thing for us at Sheridan House, probably because they felt Barnes was dumb and we need to help him out or whatever it was. I don't know what it was, but I hesitated to tell that to Rosemary because Rosemary is so good and so smart and so pure. And she says, so do you think that God just decided to honor this? And I said, yeah, probably. So she said, do you feel a little embarrassed that God had to respond to you that quickly, like you were somewhat of a child? And we're dying laughing over this. But wow, does he really take care of righteousness? I think he takes care of righteousness.
He says it.
And he says that. And the contrite heart that prays to him. And it's not just a contrite heart. It's a righteous heart. Mm-hmm. Do the right thing because it's right to do. That starts with planting the conscience and on and on and on. And Joseph could have thought, I didn't have an extramarital affair with Potiphar's wife. I ran from her. What good did that do for me? I went to prison. But he didn't. He did the right thing. And even in prison, he continued doing the right thing and helping other people. And it was all a part of the training of this incredibly awesome leader. And this incredibly awesome leader becomes prime minister of one of the greatest countries at that time, which then led him to rescue the people, the very people who sold him into slavery. Incredible. That whole story we need to get. The development of his mom developing in him a conscience and developing in him a compassion. And developing in him this mercy, but developing in this overwhelming, how could I do that? It would be a sin against God. And I'm sure people in prison said, well, how's that working for you, Dr. Phil? Well, I don't know, but I do know this. I did the right thing. Mm-hmm. I responded with a conscience as far as Potiphar's wife was concerned. I know that God has a plan for my children, and I know they're fearfully and wonderfully made, and I know he watched over them as they were developed in their mother's womb, and I know that every day, it says, was scribed out before they were even born. And so I know my part is not to get them to the right place or the right university or the right Ivy League anything or the right grades or the rights. My part is training. And my part in that training is to see the difficulties in life for training opportunities, the victories in life for training opportunities. But my job is to connect, the great connect of these two plugs, that my child's heart and God. And that means develop a conscience and a right from wrong and continue to develop that conscience. So they come out as young adults on a college campus and I'm not there anymore. And they have a conscience and stand up for righteousness and watch what God does then.
You almost have to also show them the benefits of having a good conscience that are not material benefits.
Absolutely.
You know what? You walk out, you earned that grade. Or you feel like you owned up to this because that's what you did. And we read all over the Bible how God protects the righteous. It's like a protection. Just do the right thing. Maybe you have to hurt right now, but in the future, your conscience is clean.
Because we're in the right now feels like it's absolutely forever. So God gives us stories. And the story starts with Joseph at 17 years old, where God gives a dream, and it's the wheat stalk dream. And he has no idea what that dream means other than God has a dream for me. And then comes the training, the Navy SEAL training to get him to that dream. I gave my children, when one turned 12 and the other turned 13, a wheat stalk cross. And I went to a friend who's a jeweler, and how much would it cost to make a mold of wheat stalks in the form of a cross? And I gave it each to him. God has a dream for you. Your job is to connect to God and to trust God. My job is to help develop that conscience inside your heart rather than respond with your eyes to life or your momentary wants. But remember how long Joseph waited for that. He saw his brothers 23 years later. You know, he goes from 17 to 42 when they come to town. So much had elapsed that they didn't even recognize him and didn't even know it was him, because he deals with them through a Hebrew interpreter, until all of a sudden he sees they've changed. I've already forgiven them, but I've not forgotten. They've changed. I can now not just give them food for free and hide their money back in the bag. I did a test. They've changed. I can bring them to Egypt. He did a perfect test. And so I want to develop whatever it is that takes to, they trust God, they know God, they understand right from wrong. That is wrong. How do you know that's wrong? Because God says that wrong in his Bible. Because I've asked God and he's shown me that that's wrong. That's a long process. That was a long process as a young adult, me coming to Christ. It's a long, long process. I want to develop that in my child's heart so my child does better quicker than I did and doesn't go through his 20s just scrambling to put a conscience together. And then when they arrive on a college campus and people are doing bizarre things, college campus is not the real world. There's nothing real about people at 18 living together. My next, you know, all around us, that the college world does not exist.
Right.
I know it exists, but not in abundance
like that.
Oh, yeah, it's just a bizarre world. I want my children to have an intact conscience to be able to walk because they know that's wrong. I want them to have an intact conscience to know to minister to others, that it's not this all about me. My children each got involved in ministries on their college campus that served other people. That takes 2 decades to develop.
And also have a conscience that's humble enough to admit when you've done something wrong. Make it easy. It should be easy to say I'm sorry, because their humility is built in. But you have to build that in.
Oh, you have to build that in, and that starts with practice. I don't know why "I'm sorry, I was wrong" are words that are hard to form with your lips and your tongue. They're just hard to come out because the rest of the world doesn't say that. And when you say to somebody actually in the real world, I'm sorry I just got in front of you in this line, and they look at you like, who are you?
Yeah.
What planet did you get off of?
True.
And it's okay. I have to play for that great cloud of witnesses that are there. I want my child to succeed at what God has for them to succeed. So it's planting the word of God in their lives. It's revealing the word of God in their walk. It's applauding the word of God in their triumphs. It's helping them see the word of God in their failures because they're children. And it's helping them do the right thing even before they're ready to do the right thing as we develop the conscience in the life of my child.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, wrapping up a week talking about developing a conscience in my child. And if you missed any of the previous programs, you can hear them all over again online at parentingtoday.org. You can send us your questions, even find other topics that we've covered so far. That's online at parentingtoday.org. To find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, that's at shfm.org. You can support the ministry, find all the different aspects of the ministry, even find some more parenting resources there that support everything that goes on at Sheridan House Family Ministries. The website is simply shfm.org. And we hope you'll join us next week for another topic here on Parenting Today.